Hi, everyone, and welcome back to High Tea Hoops.
High Tea Hoops.
High Tea Hoops. This is the Duchess of Hoops, Skylar Smith. I'm here with Brian, the Duke, as always. Brian, how's it going?
Great. I am so excited to launch season two.
So excited to be back. Yeah, it's season two. So thanks to everyone who listened to our casual UK fan guide to NBA teams. If you haven't checked it out yet, we covered all 22 NBA teams that are heading to the NBA bubble. They're in the NBA bubble right now so that you can choose which team you want to support. So we kind of went over some really fun stuff, the history, the current team, some Premier League equivalents that are, you know, some are good, some are fine.
Hey.
Beefs, fans, owners, we covered everything. It was really fun. So go check that out if you haven't already.
It's great content. Go look at it. We also have our website with the associated posts. So casual UK fan guide to NBA teams, check it out. But now that basketball is back, we actually have the WNBA and NBA playing. We're moving on to season two. So you can expect 2 to 3 episodes per week out of us on Sundays, like right now, setting you up for a little Monday morning treat. We'll have our Sunday roast show with Skylar and me. And then on Thursdays, we'll have Thursday tea time, and we're going to bring in special guests from around the basketball world. And then we're kind of having that flex wing spot, maybe that sixth man spot, sixth woman spot is going to be for special guests, special appearances, special stuff that pops up that we'll just put out throughout the week whenever we feel like it. So look forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Also on this note, please rate and review. We haven't said it much, but it actually really helps. I've done a little more research on the podcast rankings, really helps. So if you like the content, go give us a quick five star only, and a little review. It'll help out.
Yeah, for sure. So let's just get into our topics for today for our first Sunday roast, Brian. Mm-hmm. Let's get into some takeaways from the games that we've already seen in the NBA and in the WNBA.
Let's do it.
So, you know, this is the launch of the restart. This is kind of the first week. This is the first time we're really talking about it together.
Yep.
That both leagues are back up and running. The WNBA got a little bit of a head start before the NBA. Honestly, it just feels so good to have them all back.
So good.
It's incredible. Like, even seeing, like, the other leagues in America coming back, like the MLB coming back and stuff, like, the NBA and the WNBA are just miles and miles ahead of where every other league is. They're doing things so, like, safely for the players and as far as, like, COVID goes. But also just everything looks incredible. There's been incredible graphics on behind like the teams as they're playing, the whole NBA setup. I know people complain about the virtual fans. I really like them. I think it's fun and it doesn't take anything away from me. Also, like, I loved seeing like Deuce during the Celtics games today. Like, Adam's how fun must it be for the players to look up and see their kids in the virtual fans when I'm sure they're missing them so much.
Yeah. I like that, you know, with the WNBA coming back, when we started the NBA guide, the WNBA hadn't set a date to even start. So it was like middle of July, and it was such a fast turnaround from, we're starting, and now we're started. And we actually got the WNBA going before the NBA, even though they announced super late. But it's so fun to have just basketball games on all day, all night, and just to have it back.
It's also super weird. Like, we don't usually see the WNBA and the NBA playing at the same time.
Yeah, you're right.
And so it's really weird, but it's really cool. Yeah, like, there's a lot of like cross promotion that's able to happen this year that typically isn't able to. It just doesn't happen because they don't play at the same time.
And they can be fans of each other at the same time.
Yeah. And, you know, I think they are. They always have been. Yeah. But, you know, just seeing them playing at the same time, it makes it so much more clear. And so I just was so, I was just so happy this week to see all of the NBA players wearing WNBA hoodies, wearing the iconic orange hoodies.
Yes, I want one.
And I want one too. They sold out.
I know. I want the fanny packs too. That's what I really want. And they don't sell them. They just do them on giveaways.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it was really smart of the WNBA to get a bunch of these hoodies out to NBA players and ask them to wear them when they restarted. You know, we saw like the orange hoodies blow up. We just said they sold out. But it was just really cool to see NBA players kind of throwing their weight behind the WNBA and encouraging people to support them and watch them.
Yeah, agreed. And that brings us to our next topic from our takeaways from the last week. In the WNBA, because they started first, the Mystics and the Seattle Storm, Washington Mystics, Seattle Storm, are looking really strong, Skylar. The Storm started
really strong.
Out. I mean, we're the Seattle Storm.
This is us being biased homers.
Yeah, we're little homers. But having Sue Bird at what, 38, 39?
I think she's 40.
She's almost 40. It's insane what she's the J.J. Redick, where she's just, or J.J. Redick is the Sue Bird.
Yeah, J.J. Redick is Sue Bird, not the other way around.
I completely agree. Sue Bird, who I think leads the WNBA all-time in assists, one of the top in three-pointers, she is still just unbelievable at basketball. And with the summer of not really knowing if WNBA was coming back, a lot of the players out there are tired. They seem a little out of shape. She is not. Her and Rapinoe must have been working over the summer to prep for this. So we got Stewie, Brianna Stewart, former MVP. My vote for probably is going to be the best basketball player of all time when her career is done. Yeah,
I think Sue Bird.
Not Sue Bird. Brianna Stewart is going to be the best basketball player of all time when her career is over.
Yeah.
She already is getting pretty close.
She's scary out there right now.
Yeah, she can do whatever she wants. So the Storm were looking really strong, but then the Mystics whooped them, and the Mystics won last year. They're the reigning champions. So that was it's fun to see that type of rivalry forming, because it's happened over the last, the Storm won, beat the Mystics, swept them in 2018. The Mystics came back with Ella Deladon, beat the Storm in 2019. And now it's looking like those are going to be some of the top two teams coming out of this kind of restart bubble season. Because this is the regular season. The NBA is more of the play-in type games and then the playoffs. Yeah. But this is the start of their season. So it's going to be a fun rivalry.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's really incredible that the Mystics have done so well, even without Elena Deladon coming to the bubble with them. It's been really incredible to see. And also I just love Sue and Stewie. I'm sorry, I just have to go back to them for one moment. Sue, okay, so I looked it up. Sue is 39. She's going to turn 40 in October, which is just like the level of care you have to have for your body to like get to the point where she is in her career and still be able to like be just out here murdering people is insane. And also, like, I'm really grateful that we're getting to watch Sue, because, you know, Sue was out there saying, like, she is 39, and if the WNBA didn't come back this season, it probably would have been the end of her career, and we wouldn't have gotten to have a send-off for Sue. So, just really happy to be watching Sue Bird again.
Yeah. It's too bad that Elena, has her, she opted out because of health concerns. Totally reasonable. Absolutely, yeah. WNBA. Controversy there, but I would have loved to see them all together. Obviously, this is not normal circumstances, but it is fun to see them all there. And then a quick shout out before we move on to our next category to Sylvia Foyles. It's a Sunday roast, people. We have the stouts out. Sylvia Foyles set the WNBA record for most rebounds in WNBA history. So she hit that accomplishment in the restart. Pretty cool to see.
Shout out Sylvia. Also shout out mispronouncing WNBA players' names, because the broadcasters these past couple games have just been butchering them.
But they don't drink beers while they're announcing, though.
They have no excuse. I mean, we don't have an excuse either, but sorry, Sylvia. But go Sylvia. So one of the not so fun parts of the WNBA being back is we've seen a ton of injuries out of the WNBA. You know, obviously Sabrina has kind of gotten the most attention because there was such an anticipation around her debut as a rookie.
Yep.
And so it was really, really sad to see her go down so quickly. But there's been a ton of other injuries. You know, Christmas Kelly, she had a right Achilles, I think.
Rupture.
She
struggled for so long, too. And to have her come back and then, like, in the first week go down was really tough.
I honestly, like, have been holding my breath with Sue and Stewie a lot, too. It's tough to see, but I don't think it's particularly surprising. You know, the NBA players, like, they got to come back and have a bunch of team practices, and then they went into scrimmages, and then from the scrimmages, then they went into regular season games, and then they're going to go into playoff games. Like, the WNBA came back, and they basically were just playing immediately. So it's not surprising that...
They didn't know all summer if they were going to even have it. So it wasn't like they were on normal training for the most part. There's a lot of uncertainty.
Well, a lot of them had gone to like Europe to play. They had gone to get paid somewhere else to play. But it's not super surprising when there wasn't a ton of like lead in for them to get their bodies into their, you know, ideal state for the season, and then not having a ton of like preseason. It's not surprising that a ton of players are going down with injuries, but it's definitely really sad to see.
And it's crazy that, you know, both number one picks for the NBA and WNBA both went down so fast, like Zion going down right away and missing a big part of the season. Sabrina, the same thing, where kind of equally hyped coming out of college.
Yeah.
And they both go down, which just sucks. But at least it's an ankle sprain. So hopefully she can come back and work her way back in. But we'll see how it goes over the next week or so.
And if she wants to sit out the rest of the season, girl, sit out the rest of the season. We will not be mad at you for that.
Yeah, I'm glad she got her breakout performance, though. What, 33 points, 7 assists? She showed everyone what she could do. So that was really fun to see.
I watched that loop of her, like, draining that three and then running back to get the steal on the other end. I watched that video just on a loop for, I swear, 20 minutes, just watching how hard she was working. I love watching Sabrina.
All right, let's move on to some of our takeaways from the NBA restart. So this one is... the top four teams, top two in each conference, the Bucks, the Raptors, the Clippers, and the Lakers, to us have really separated themselves from the rest. There's, you know, there's a pretty good, you know, amount of parity between those top four, but then there seems like a little bit of a drop off there, Skylar. So what were your thoughts on kind of these top four teams rising above the rest?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a drop off like below them, but just watching them come back, I was just so like surprised isn't the right word, but I had just forgotten how many really, really good teams there are this year. I was watching games this week, and I was just like, I don't know who's gonna win this year. And I know everyone throws around like Lakers and Bucks and Clippers and Raptors, but it's really anyone's bubble this year.
Well, let's break down some of these games. So the Bucks Celtics game was really eye-opening for me. So, you know, even like the Celtics fought back. Tatum had a terrible game. Luckily, he bounced
terrible.
But it was pretty close considering Tatum, I think, only hit 2 of 18 or something. Like, he missed every single shot. But Giannis was just fucking dunking on everyone. It was unbelievable. Yeah. Tice, you know, shout out to Marley from the Anytime NBA show. Tice was one of his players to watch. Tice did not stop Giannis at all. It was like he's not even there. I can't believe how much he was just dominating the Celtics, the other top contender in that conference.
Giannis looked like a man among boys in that game. It was insane. And Giannis came to play. You can tell Giannis thinks, it's my year. I'm coming for the chip.
Yes. And he looked like he was playing on a Nerf hoop against all his younger brothers. Like, it was unbelievable. I think he had 5 dunks in the first, like, 10 minutes. It was unbelievable. So
Giannis and Zion are like the two players I watch, and I'm just amazed by what they can physically do. It just, it blows my mind.
Another good takeaway, that Clippers Lakers game, God, just chef's kiss on these first few games where they both came to play. You had AD and LeBron going against Kawhi and Pat Bev, who, yes, he deserves that number two ranking, and Paul George, who also had an amazing game. But what I took away from that game, the Lakers won. They beat the Clippers. Anthony Davis was kind of the standout star in the game, where he was very similar to Giannis, was just like, he could do anything. He was shooting threes. He was passing. He was doing everything that the Lakers needed to. LeBron, a little bit slower, which we'll go into later, Skylar. You have some theories on maybe Graybeard versus Blackbeard, and maybe Graybeard was a little stronger, that iteration of him. But – you know, any takeaways from the Lakers for you, Skylar, watching that first game against the Clippers?
I mean, I think it's fair to say, if we're going to comment on Sue's age, like, LeBron's 35. Mm-hmm. He's not Giannis's age. Giannis is still really young. So it's not super surprising to me that LeBron needs a little bit more time to kind of get back into playing shape. But I actually really loved watching LeBron in that Lakers-Clippers game, just because I think Kawhi brings out something in LeBron that like few others can, because I think LeBron like knows Kawhi is on his level and he gets a lot of, you know, he gets a lot of clout, and he's in LA now, and they're going to be going head to head. And I swear I haven't seen LeBron James play defense in 5 years. And he was playing some of the best defense I've seen out of him against the Clippers, against Kawhi. So I loved watching LeBron in that game, because it's just that was a style of LeBron that we haven't seen in a long time.
Especially for the first game back, where he would, I mean, especially for the game-winning shot, you know, it was Clippers, Kawhi had it. Kawhi's got to be, what, top three ISO player in the league right now?
Yeah.
He's no joke. LeBron stopped him. He stopped Paul George all in the same possession.
Yep. That meme, too, of Kawhi just so frustrated with LeBron playing lockdown defense, it was incredible.
And that's, you know, the Clippers were interesting to watch, because they are so good, and they showed that against the Pelicans. But they also played a lot of ISO ball. Kawhi was playing a lot of ISO. Same with Paul. It seemed like they were taking a little bit more turns back and forth between Paul George and Kawhi, where the Lakers seemed much more like a team to me. They just seemed to like each other more, bond more. Their bench was super active. They were enjoying passing around and playing with each other. Kuzma, Skyler, I'm so sorry. He's playing well. There's nothing else you can say.
Sure.
He's not quite Devin Booker level for you, but Kuzma's playing well. The Lakers just seem to have that bond that I have Raptors on my mind. The Clippers don't quite have yet. So it'll be interesting to see how they gel a little bit more as the playoffs go on.
Yeah, for sure. Also, just I love that Kawhi is so committed to, every time we get to the playoffs, he has to remind us that he's just a fucking insane robot. I love it. So last year we had I guess we're not to playoffs yet. Take the playoffs out of that last sentence. But last year we got to the playoffs, and I forget who it was, but someone went to fist bump him before that game, and he just stared at it and then just pointed, let's go. Like, wouldn't fist bump him back. And then this game, or the game Friday night, maybe it was the second one, I don't know. One of his teammates was playing with his hair. Yeah, it wasn't Morris. Was playing with his hair, trying to just kind of lighten the mood. I don't know. Just guys fuck around on the bench.
Like playing with him a little bit.
Yeah, lighten up, Kawhi. And Kawhi just looks at him, looks forward, looks down, and makes the weirdest face I've ever Kawhi, are you okay? What is happening in your brain, Kawhi?
I'm a big
I love that we get reminded how fucking weird Kawhi is every time around this year. I love it.
I'm a big bench antics guy. When I'm not playing, I'm bored, and I'm just fucking around with my teammates. Kawhi would really creep me out, because I would be trying stuff and he would give you nothing back. And it's weird. I don't know what he's doing over there. And to talk about the Clippers not gelling very much and the Lakers looking like they were a team versus the Clippers kind of iso ball, the Lakers then went and played the Raptors. Mm-hmm. And the Raptors showed them what being a team actually means. If you listen to the casual UK fan guide, we're a little bit Raptors fans. We like the Raptors a lot. But it's because of this. AD and LeBron couldn't do anything against them. Their defense was solid. They all had their roles. Kyle Lowry was playing. Siakam was playing. They looked like they were outclassing the Lakers in every aspect of the game. And everyone talks about them as underrated, or, you know, Kawhi left, so they're not that good. And they kicked their ass. That was amazing to watch.
Yeah, I think the Raptors have flown under the radar just a little bit this year because Kawhi left and people thought that they would really fall off. This is one of my favorite teams I've ever watched, is this Raptors team. It's so fun. Admittedly, I did say I was going to root for the Raptors during this bubble, but this team is so fun. Like, this is what I want to watch when I watch basketball. You can tell they all love playing basketball together. Yep. I love watching Kyle Lowry. He's so thick. He's throwing his body around. He's going up for a layup, and he's literally flinging himself into the building next to them. It's just, every single time. I love watching Kyle Lowry. I love watching Siakam. They're just such a fun team, and you can tell that they're coached so incredibly well.
BBL Nick Coach Nurse, of the Year.
Our guy. Yes. And so I think the Raptors are going to give a lot of teams a really tough time this year.
Yeah, we'll go into it in a second. But seeing the Sixers collapse and the Celtics collapse and then seeing how good the Raptors are, it's like, fuck, the Raptors could win this thing.
Yeah.
Go Raptors.
Go Raptors. God, Drake is going to be insufferable again. At least Drake's, he can't go to these bubble games.
He'll find a way into the bubble. He'll be a media member or something.
Yeah.
Team will invite him in. He's employed by the team, right? Global ambassador.
Yeah, maybe the Raptors will actually just bring him
in.
That'd be incredible. So those were our good teams. Let's get into some of our sleeper teams. Yep. So my initial thoughts were Rockets, Heat, and Thunder look dangerous. And they I don't think anyone was quite expecting them to look as good as they did.
A lot of questions about them. And they have played really well in the first few games.
Yeah. I think especially, like, with the Rockets, like, James Harden didn't come to the bubble until, I swear, like, 48 hours ago. Like, yeah. He literally was like, I will not do that until I'm forced.
Yes.
And just knowing James Harden, like, James Harden, in a normal circumstance, can't focus enough on games. He's going to strip clubs. Like, he doesn't care. And so I think there were a lot of questions just about, like, I mean, A, they just traded Clint Capella. They're tiny, tiny, tiny now. And can James Harden and Russell Westbrook, like, focus enough and be disciplined enough in the bubble to be winning games?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're only one or two games in, so who's to say how long they can keep this up? But they looked incredible.
Yeah, and they're a team that has the reputation for maybe fading in tough games and not doing as well, where that first game against the Mavericks, I think they were down 6 with 12 seconds left, 20 seconds left. The Mavs should have had this game. They were way up. And Harden especially fought back. Westbrook fought back. And they took this game in overtime. They should not have won that game. And they fought and they showed that spirit. And that was really fun.
Honestly, like, the tricky little play off of the free throw to get it to overtime is, like, literally something that I only think the Rockets can pull off, because they're just, they love this little, like, tricky form of basketball, and it's honestly really fun to watch.
Yeah, and they're playing the Bucks right now, so we're not going to have the advantage of seeing them against one of the other top teams, but we'll report back on Thursday how they're doing.
Yeah, but yeah, everyone needs to stop slandering James Harden, because
he's good. He's incredible. He's fucking good.
And I don't care. Let's talk about the Heat a little bit.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler came to play.
Man, he's good.
He came to play. I also loved, you know, we saw Jimmy Butler try to enter the game without a nameplate on his jersey. That was kind of his social justice stand. He didn't like any of the proposed sayings, which is very fair. Mm-hmm. And so he was kind of trying to say that if he wasn't an NBA player, he's just any other black man in America, and like any of the things that we've seen, whether it be George Floyd or whatever, that could happen to him at any moment. And honestly, the fact that he's an NBA player doesn't even protect him, but hopefully people know who he is, and so that protects him. So I don't know, it was really disappointing to see the NBA like stick to that rule so hard that they made him put on a nameplate. But you know, I love J-Butt. He's always going to try to make a stand.
Yeah, and it didn't stop him from, you know, leading that team. And it's really fun to see Jimmy Butler kind of bounce around all these different teams the last few years and then really find his home in Miami, where it seems like all of the players on the team really respond to his leadership well, because they played against a Denver team that, you know, admittedly, we'll go over this in a second, but they didn't have Jamal Murray. They didn't have Will Barton. They didn't have their, you know, Gary Harris. They didn't have their good wings. But the Heat blew them out. I mean, there was no contest almost from the start. Jimmy Butler was face guarding Jokic at the 3-point line and not letting him do anything. He was playing, you know, distributing, playing. It was just, this was a game where it's like everyone was contributing. Kelly Olynyk just lit on fire in the fourth quarter, three after three. And you're like, man, this is a deep team. They all have their role and they look like they could make some noise in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I think we shit on Kelly Olynyk in our Miami Heat podcast, which shame on us, because Kelly Olynyk came out and could not miss.
Yes, that was amazing. And then what do you think of the Thunder, Skylar? What do you think of their game? I think they blew out the Jazz. Like, they handled the Jazz.
Blew them out, yeah. Well, I honestly loved it. I thought it was a really fun game. I always get scared saying Shai. I confidently said it was Shai on our previous podcast, because a bunch of podcasts I had listened to had called him Shai and like had debated the pronunciation. Now I keep hearing Shai. So anyways, someone SGA. Tell me, but don't be mean to me. SGA, he had a great game. Yep. He's really fun to watch. You know, I always love watching Steven Adams, especially when we're learning that he is trying to learn guitar in the bubble. He brought a guitar to the bubble with him, doesn't know how to play it, is going to learn in the bubble. I am always going to love watching Steven Adams. And then, you know, Chris Paul was there. He was there, sure.
Yeah, Chris Paul. We just listened to our other pods on the Thunder. But not a lot of expectations for this Thunder team. And, you know, the Jazz don't have Bojan Bogdanović, yep, one of their leading scorers, but still, like, Gobert and Mitchell, they blew them out. And this is a really good team, and they, you know, they, that's why they're a sleeper.
Yeah, we could see them make a little bit of noise.
All right, let's go to our next category, Skylar, of our takeaways. This one pains me deeply. These are the teams that had a little bit high expectations coming in and have not been performing up to the level they should. Let's start with my Denver Nuggets.
The Denver Nuggets,
the slow time Nuggets, because they have the tallest starting lineup of all time. And it looked like they might have needed some good wings and guards here, Skylar. This was this was bad against the Heat. And they were missing their three top guards, Murray, Barton, Harris. But Jokic, like I said, didn't know what to do on the three-point line. He didn't have a great game. The role players didn't really step up here. And they're going to need their guards back. But having the Heat blow them out when they're the three seed in the West was tough to see in that first game back.
Yeah, what was your Denver Nuggets take, Brian, before or right at the end of the season one?
I didn't have one. I forget.
Oh, it wasn't that they were gonna make it to the finals?
I can't remember. We did so many in a row. I forgot. Yeah. We can just nix that. I'll go back to the editor, which is me, and delete that from the podcast.
Okay, sounds good. How about you delete whatever my pronunciation of Shea Shai is?
Shea was. Sounds good. Let's go to Do we go to the Sixers next? Let's go to the Sixers. So, had a lot of concerns about them in our preview podcast, and they seem pretty warranted. Skylar, give me your takes.
Shocker. The Sixers are still the Sixers.
Yeah,
the Sixers hasn't changed. Are doing exactly what we expected out of them. I mean, truly, what else is there? Like, they looked like the Sixers.
They just don't look like a team. I don't know what it is. Joel Embiid looks great. He had a great night against the Pacers. They still lost. Yeah. Ben Simmons kind of looks better at the power forward, but they just can't pull it together. I don't know what it is.
I think I saw a stat that Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, and Embiid combined for like 95 points in that game, and then the rest of their players combined for like 30. So, I mean,
maybe it's the role players. They all look so good. Yeah, those three play really well, but it's not necessarily together. I don't know what it is. It's disappointing, though.
Yeah. It's really tough to see. Mm-hmm. Justice for Tobias Harris.
Seriously, we love Toby. Unleash Toby. Let's go to the Pelicans. No, let's end with the Pelicans. Let's go to the Mavs. The Mavs. The Eastern Europeans. we have Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, who were looking good. They played well. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest here. I mean, they played great. Porzingis had 39, was hitting a ton of threes, but they collapsed against the Rockets.
They actually had more of a Rockets night than the Rockets did.
Yeah, exactly. Where this is one of the concerns of this team is that they are real. Doncic has been a top five player in the NBA this season. They have a really good team. They have Carlisle as the coach. So this is a team primed to do well, but they don't have that playoff experience. They haven't gone deep in the playoffs yet as a team. And it kind of showed in this game. And, you know, it's only one game. It's a small sample size. But it was concerning that they could blow that big of a lead so late with all of those contributors.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to take too much credit away from James Harden. Like, I honestly think if James Harden decides he wants to win and the rest of the Rockets are kind of on board with him and are able to play well with him, there's not very many teams that can stop him. Like, James Harden played out of his mind against the Mavs. Crazy. And, like, you know, they gave up a big lead. But then once the Rockets got it to overtime, there was no doubt in my mind the Rockets were going to win because they just had so much momentum and the Mavs just looked so tired. So it's like Luka and Porzingis can play as well as they want, but if they can't close it, they're not going to do well. So
they're going to have to get it back.
It's probably just not their year.
Yeah. Or they're going to have to get, you know, through the first round of the playoffs or, you know, through the play-in stuff, they're going to have to kind of get back up to game shape, close out games and get it together. But I'm interested to see what they do. It's, again, small sample size. But the Pelicans, two games in, right? They're one of the teams that got two. They played the Jazz and they lost a very winnable game where they benched Zion the last 3 minutes. And then they got completely blown out by the Clippers. So the Pelicans were one of the teams that, you know, they were like, should they come in? Should they not be in this restart? But because of Zion, because of this group, they wanted them back in, and they just seem to not want to make the playoffs. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, the NBA literally set up the playoff format and the bubble format so that the Pelicans could be in it, so that we could see Zion.
Yeah.
And we're just not seeing Zion very much. Like, I totally get it that the Pelicans have to protect his health and to a certain extent have to protect his ego and his like mental situation. I'm sure it's a lot of pressure to have this much attention on a 19-year-old and have this much hype and have this many comments on his body. And I'm sure it's a lot for Zion. I'm sure that they're being very cautious with him. But at the same time, if you're in a winnable game and you're not putting him in those last minutes,
what are you doing?
It shows that you don't want to win that much. I was pissed that we weren't seeing Zion in those final minutes.
Yeah,
and
I don't
know.
It just sucks.
Like,
it sucks.
Just if you're gonna be there, you have to compete. And he was like, "Well, Zion wasn't on his like warm up schedule." And it's like, then put him on his warm up schedule. Like, it's I don't know. It was infuriating. I also just justice for Zion. I love Zion, but I laugh every single time he gets taken out of the game and he just like head down. You can tell he's so mad. He has to stop playing. He's like stomping off the floor. He just looks like a giant, like mad 5-year-old. I love Zion. I want to see so much more. Give us more Zion.
Totally agree. But that's what I got for the underperformers. And we'll see who kind of rises to this category in the next week. But Sixers, Mavs, Nuggets, Pelicans. I want to see more. We want to see more.
Yeah. So some teams are just pretty unwatchable, Brian, in this bubble. Despite NBA being back, there are some games that I am specifically choosing not to watch. And those are the Wizards, the Magic, the Nets, and the Kings. I caught a little bit of the Kings-Magic game today. It was just so bad.
So
like, the Kings were down by 30 to the Magic.
In the third quarter.
In the second quarter, they were down by 30. I wanted NBA back so bad, but we could have just left these teams out, guys.
Yeah.
I know we wanted Zion, but these games are completely unwatchable.
Yeah. Anything else we want to say here? They're tough.
They're tough.
Yeah. All right.
That's it.
We'll see how they shake it out in the at least there'll be some, you know, easy wins for some of these top teams to maybe improve their seed. We'll see.
Okay, so let's move into our roast section, the section
Sunday
for
roast.
Which this whole podcast is named, our Sunday roasts. So in this section, we're going to be going through the people that we, Brian and Skylar, want to roast this week. Who is acting a fool? Shacting a fool? Who is...
Come on, man.
Come on, man. It's just that. There's going to be some heavy stuff in this section as well. I can roast people for doing absolutely terrible shit and also just for being dumb. So, you know, it's some stuff will be light, some stuff will be heavy, but we're just going to be out here roasting people, and I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And so, Brian, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, you're going to get the whole spectrum of roasts. Like I said, like Skylar said, heavy, fun, it'll be all across the board. To start off with, we're going to start with some stupid ones. Michael Porter Jr., Dwight Howard, Terrence Davis, just spreading COVID-19 misinformation. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Karl Anthony Towns' mom died of COVID. They have players in the league that have suffered from this disease or from this virus. And Michael Porter Jr. is going on Snapchat saying it's about the government controlling us. Dwight Howard is not wearing his mask around campus. Terrence Davis said that it's a conspiracy and he put a hole in his mask. And then Adam Silver had to strongly say, hey, this is a very serious mask policy. So we're going to roast these three and any other, you know, NBA player that comes out. Just wear your fucking mask. Follow the protocol. Our country has done an awful job in the United States of actually handling the pandemic. And the bubble has actually shown that when you actually follow science and you have tests and you have protective things in place like masks and social distancing, that we can move forward with life and that the misinformation that's spreading is causing us all to still be in lockdown for months on end with cases rising every day, which is really frustrating. So I love to see a lot of the players advocating for the measures and saying, hey, the testing works, the masks work, the social distancing works. And then to have players like this come out, it just is so frustrating. So these three are roasted this week.
Yeah, you know, I think it might have been beneficial for the NBA to have some like informational sessions with the players about this stuff further, like beyond just you have to wear your mask and like here are the rules, maybe just shorten that playbook for like what players can and can't do, because there was some wild shit in that, and just make sure that they have like a basic understanding of COVID-19 and how it spreads and like what they can do to minimize that spread. Like, it's very obvious that a couple of them have just completely wrong information that they're getting from the internet. Michael Porter Jr. was pushing like QAnon shit and Pizzagate shit, and like,
it's bad.
Don't get me started on Michael Porter Jr., but I get so frustrated with these because these players have huge, huge platforms.
Yep.
And, you know, it's one thing to push your political opinions on your platforms because, you know, people can agree and they cannot. This stuff, this is literally putting people's lives in danger. Yep. And so it's just so fucking stupid and selfish, and I'm just mad.
Yeah, me too. And I'll pass it to you for the next one, Skylar.
All right, so we got a heavy one for next one. That was a little bit of a lighter one, maybe. I don't know. I guess not. We'll end on a light one. But the Mavericks, not many people heard about this week, had some sexual assault scandal this week.
Again.
Again.
We covered this in our pod.
Fourth time. Yeah.
In our Mavericks overview, we covered the first part of this scandal.
Yeah. You know, I think people want to kind of like push this stuff down with their sports teams, but I just feel like it's really important to have a full view of whatever team you're going to support and be pushing their brand. So the Mavs, we talked about this in our pod. They had a big Me Too watershed moment in 2018. They found very widespread, very toxic working conditions, very widespread sexual assault and domestic assault within their organization. They supposedly went through like a whole cleanup, got rid of everyone who had these accusations. They brought in a new CEO. She's a woman, so apparently that was supposed to fix it. But then in September 2019, a young saleswoman wrote an anonymous email to their owner, Mark Cuban, saying that their director of player personnel, Tony Ranzone, had sexually assaulted her. And so basically, the Mavericks had an internal investigation and found nothing, and Tony Ranzone is still on staff. Yep. And so this Sports Illustrated story came out this week because that young woman basically was like, there's been no justice. He's still working there. Like, they just swept this under the rug and moved on. And so a Sports Illustrated story comes out just kind of recounting the story again to try to, you know, get some eyes on it, I guess.
Yeah.
And Dallas just hit back again and was like, this is completely false and we found no new information. And it basically came out that the Mavericks, in their internal investigation, didn't even talk to like any of the witnesses. They basically just opened the case, looked around a little bit, and then closed it and moved on. They didn't want to actually have to get rid of Tony Ranzone. And so now this story has come back out, but you know, Dallas is still trying to bury it.
Yeah.
So it just sucks. It just sucks. Like, you guys had this big moment 2 years ago. You supposedly fixed it all. And now these things are still coming out. Like, you can't just sweep these under the rug. Like, we know that this is a problem and you're in your organization. You have to fix it.
Yep. And it's the NBA, WNBA are some of the most progressive leagues in the entire world. And they have these gigantic platforms. They need to do better. They can't do this.
They have to do better. Especially because Mark Cuban gets a lot of credit for being like one of the most woke owners and one of the most, you know, I don't know if liberal owners is the correct term, but he gets a lot of credit for the good stuff he does for this team and for this community. And so,
yeah, Mark, disappointed to see.
You got to fix this shit.
This is said with love, Mavericks. Do better. You're roasted this week.
Is it?
For the NBA and for the cause.
I'm not saying anything with love about sexual assault.
Sure. I love the NBA. I love the WNBA. Every team needs to do better. The organizations need to do better.
Yeah.
Let's move on to a fun one, Skylar, and I'm going to let you do this because this is a personal passion of yours. Set us up. Yeah.
I'd love to just have a fun one after that too. Goddamn. So I have been a huge fan of LeBron's Kimbo Slice beard. I love seeing him come back with this big beard. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Bron's hairline throughout his entire career. I just, you know, I liked his big beard. I thought it was cool. I thought it was fun. And I liked that it was gray on the sides and he was kind of coming back as this like alpha guy. Like he's one of the older ones in this league and he runs this league.
Yep.
And so I was so disappointed when our first games back, all of a sudden Bron's beard was suddenly, mysteriously, completely black again. And so I'm actually wondering if this was, I thought he just like trimmed off the gray parts.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
But then I saw a lot of people saying that he dyed it black. And then I started looking at it and I was like, it is like really, really jet black when it kind of wasn't before. I don't know what the roast is here, honestly. Just the roast
go
is...
Go back to Greybeard. LeBron,
go back
gray
to Greybeard. We want Greybeard back.
Come on, LeBron.
Come on. Maybe that's it's like a superstition thing. Maybe it's like the haircut thing. He has to have a full... Nah.
I wanted to see Greybeard take the championship. That would be legendary.
Me too. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to our next segment, which we love, beefs. I'm going to kick us off with the first couple here, Skylar, and you can close us out. First one.
There is a difference between beefs and roasts, guys. Yeah. So should we clarify?
Yeah, give us the pitch. Give us the pitch between what a roast is versus a beef.
Okay, beefs are like interleague, interplayer coach. Like it's going to be people within the league or like, I guess like media. It's people that are famous and in the league. So
or
players,
us.
Coaches.
We can have beefs too with them.
Sure. Executives, media. That sort. The roasts are just going to be Brian and I roasting people who are doing dumb shit and making asses of themselves.
Agreed. One's commentary, one's gossip.
Yes.
Okay, great. This is our gossip section, beefs. First one, remember, Skylar, when we covered the Heat and the Pacers and we talked about the TJ Warren, Jimmy Butler beef where Jimmy Butler blew a kiss to TJ Warren after the game when he got
called him soft,
got him kicked out of the game. They had a beef afterward. Well, it just a resurgence in these first few games where TJ Warren comes out, drops 53 points on the Sixers, Jimmy Butler's old team. 53 points. They beat the Sixers and this just brought it back. I just love, I know I tweeted Jimmy Butler hoping for a comment still. We'll keep everyone updated if he responds. But, you know, calling TJ Warren soft, that he's not in the same stratosphere as Jimmy Butler. TJ Warren is showing he's got, you know, we talked about him being really good this year, and he is not backing down from these challenges. So I'm looking forward to seeing a Jimmy Butler, TJ Warren matchup with them both playing really well.
Yeah, a big part of the beef for us was like, Jimmy Butler was kind of obviously winning because TJ Warren isn't on Jimmy Butler's level typically. Yeah. And so that was kind of a big thing that Jimmy kept throwing at him. Like, okay, you're mad, but you're not even on my level. And TJ Warren came out and basically showed us that he was on Jimmy Butler's level. So I'm really excited to see these two match up in the play-in games.
Yep, me too. The next one, this is a fun one. JJ Redick's beef with just the Pelicans. If anyone didn't know this, JJ has not missed the playoffs in his entire NBA career since 2006. Again, JJ Redick has never missed the playoffs in 14 years. And
hard to believe. Like that is hard for my brain to process.
It's amazing what he's been able to do. And with the Pelicans coming in, having that shot, especially with how close they were in that first game, and then them losing the first game, then getting blown out by the Clippers. The shot of JJ Redick on the sidelines, just staring off into space between his legs, just realizing he's going to miss the playoffs for the first time. Avoidably, they could have won that game. They could get to the playoffs, and it looks like they don't want to, as we have discussed. Yep. JJ Redick, I'm looking forward to this frustration bubble over because he has been playing amazing. He really got himself ready for this season, and the other players just aren't stepping up for him.
Yeah, like we said, JJ Redick is the Sue Bird of the NBA.
Yep.
You could tell JJ came into the bubble ready to go. His body was ready. You could tell that he had been working out hard throughout quarantine. And so, yeah, I mean, depending on what you think of JJ, it's either tough or it's kind of funny to see.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Okay, so for our final...
Beef.
Beef? I almost said roast. I had to check for a second.
I know. Final beef.
our final beef of the evening. It's me and Brian. This should technically go in roast, but we have a beef with the NBA officials. This completely goes against the way I just explained.
No. The players do too. This is everyone. The players got fined for it too. So we snuck it in there.
All right. Yeah. Okay. We'll revise. The players have a beef with the refs at this point.
And so do we.
I don't know what is happening. Like, I mean, I do know what is happening. The refs are calling way more fouls, way more technicals than they ever have before because there aren't fans, so they can all of a sudden hear all this contact, hear all these grunts, hear great all this theory. Shit talking. Yep. They're hearing it all of a sudden. Actually, Steven Adams on like July 20th, like before we even got to restart, had predicted that there was going to be a huge uptick in technical fouls in the bubble because all of a sudden the refs can hear all this shit talking. I was honestly super frustrated in the Grizzlies Trailblazers game. There were 5 technical fouls in that game, and I think 2 or 3 of them were for like celebrating good plays.
Yep.
And I just can't think of anything that would like make the league less fun. Like, I don't know why at any point the league is like, all right, how can we make the league less fun?
More
like,
free that's throws, what you're less doing. Celebrating? Are you kidding
that's
me?
That's what you're doing when you're penalizing players for celebrating good plays. We want that energy. We want to see them talking. We want to see them shitting.
I'm keeping that
in. We want to see them shit talking. It's fine. Whatever. Yeah, like, this is what makes the game fun. And so I was just so annoyed watching these little bitch boy refs. Sorry, NBA, please hire me in the future.
They're gonna
NBA.
Find you, Skylar. and this isn't even happening in the NBA. It's also the WNBA.
Yeah. So Candace Parker got a technical because she was like joking around with Sue Bird, who was on the bench, not playing, not even dressed for this game. Candace Parker was like joking around with her and she got a technical. Why?
So stupid.
It's so stupid.
Two
and
legends
really
of the
funny,
game.
Actually. Like, literally all I want is to see those two interacting ever. I just want like a little webcam on them at all times. And so why are you taking away Candace Parker and Sue Bird joking together from us? It was also really funny. Like, we haven't gotten a ton of the expletives getting through the barriers with the NBA. Candace Parker was just fully on national TV going, I know it's women's basketball, but shit. And it was incredible. So, can these refs chill on these fouls and on these technicals?
Agreed. Let them play. Let them celebrate. Let them talk
play.
Shit. Let them play basketball. Let them be basketball players. Come on.
Yeah. Also, like, they haven't played in months. They are rightly fired up.
Yep.
Don't take it away from them.
All right. Let's move on to our next segment, Skylar, which is a really fun one invented by you, the Duchess of Hoops. Internet rabbit holes? Give me the pitch on this one.
Okay, so I always feel like I go down these really weird internet rabbit holes. I don't know how I get to them. I usually like black out while I'm in them. And then I come out and I'm like, wow, I learned so much about this really random thing that I literally wasn't interested in 5 minutes ago. And then I'm probably going to forget in 10 minutes. And so, you know, why not talk about them on the podcast and make everyone else go down these internet rabbit holes?
Let's do it. What's yours this
week? Okay, so mine this week, I went down an internet rabbit hole of looking at Russell Westbrook's 3 kids just nonstop for like an hour.
They're so cute.
They're so cute. It's so dumb. Like, it's so dumb how cute they are. So Russell Westbrook has 3 little kids. So there's Noah, who's like, I think he's like 2 or 3. And then he has twin little girls named Jordan and Sky. And so, of course, one is named Sky. So I love that. And they're maybe like 1. And they're twins. And so they're all really young. They're so cute. But the reason I couldn't stop looking at them is because Russell Westbrook's little boy, Noah, like literally looks so much like Russell Westbrook. It's kind of hard for your brain to process. Like, they literally took a grown man's face, put it on a 3-year-old, and that's all that happened. It's really weird. So I would definitely recommend looking at Russell Westbrook's Instagram, looking at his wife, Nina Westbrook's Instagram. It's just, it boggles the mind how much his little son looks exactly like him.
Yeah. So go down that cute little rabbit hole.
Yeah, there's like nothing but joy in that rabbit hole.
Mine's more nostalgic, Skylar. As you know, the pandemic has hit, all pickup basketball, all, you know, casual basketball has ceased to exist. The summer is my absolute favorite for outdoor pickup basketball, outdoor tournaments, which I have not been able to have since March. Super frustrating. So I went down the old Rough and Ready tournament rabbit hole, which was a tournament held in Brixton, South London from 96 to 2003. This is because of the Hoops Fix podcast. Shout out Hoops Fix podcast with Sam Nieter, where he interviewed Roger Hassana, who organized this. And it's just a legendary showcase of the best UK hoopers. They had college players, they had up-and-comers, they had, you know, some of the best players in the country. And for 7 years, it was like the tournament, just summer tournament, basketball vibes. I just miss it so much. I want it to be back. Hopefully we can have it next summer.
Yeah. Also, why doesn't the Rough and Ready tournament happen anymore? Let's bring that back.
Yeah. There's some really good, Hoops Fix has a really good tournament. There's a 3-on-3 one that was unfortunately canceled here. But you know, well, hopefully we'll get them back and we can kind of build that hype back up for next summer when the pandemic cools down, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our last topic that we want to touch on. It's the community and social justice initiative. So as the NBA and WNBA have come back, you know, this has been first and foremost a platform for all of the social justice movements going on, Black Lives Matter. This has been a really key part of the NBA and WNBA restarting. So we want to pay some attention to it and kind of cover some of the cool things that are happening. So Skylar, do you want to start with one of the topics that's impressed you in the restart?
Yeah, for sure. So I was kind of one of the skeptics coming back to the bubble and the wobble of, you know, how much social justice could really stay at the forefront while they're playing basketball games. And, you know, you could tell that was really important to the players. And it's just, yep, it's such a big movement right now. I just thought it would be really sad if basketball just took a bunch of attention away from that. And so I was really interested to see how the players kind of navigated that. And, you know, I think they've done a really, really great job.
Yeah, it's been impressive.
You know, social justice has really stayed at the forefront of both the bubble and the wobble. Most of the teams have knelt for the anthem. I think a bunch of the WNBA players just left the floor anthem. They just weren't on it.
They went to the locker room during the national anthem. Yep.
Yep, which I actually thought was a really interesting, really good move because
strong message.
At this point, kneeling is just, I mean, everyone is kneeling. So it's, mm-hmm, there's kind of no courage in kneeling at this point. So I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, it's been really cool players getting creative. You know, we saw a lot of players, they were going through like their media scrums and they were answering every question by bringing it back to Breonna Taylor and not talking about basketball. The WNBA has been focused on like Say Her Name and Sandra Bland and Breonna Taylor. So they've been bringing a lot of eyes and ears to those stories throughout their interviews. And so it's just been really cool. I think there's a lot of credit due for the reporters in this time. A lot of them have been giving these players really thoughtful questions that has allowed the players to give really thoughtful answers in return. I've been really impressed with Taylor Rook and the way that she's allowed guys to express their feelings on these social justice movements and really giving them just an open platform, but giving them really thought-provoking questions. And so I've been really impressed with the way that they've really kept the focus of this bubble and this wobble. You know, Myers Leonard and
Jonathan Isaac
aside, have really kept the focus on social justice.
Yeah, I've been really impressed too. And, you know, as you know, leaving this category, we just wanted to highlight, you know, Kyrie Irving, we've covered many times on the pod. He's all over the place, but he committed $1.5 million to cover the salaries of WNBA players that are sitting out for this season. So, I love the basketball community coming together in times like this and Kyrie kind of stepping up. And you see a lot of other NBA players using a big part of their salary to cover different causes they care about. But it's really, you know, just like you said, it's really amazing to see these players, these organizations, especially even, you know, Adam Silver saying, you know, we're not going to enforce kneeling during the anthem. If you want to kneel, if you want to you know, sit out during the anthem, we're not going to enforce it because this is bigger than basketball. So kudos to NBA, WNBA, and all the players and organizations for really keeping this top of mind with the restart and, you know, really putting a light on all the issues that we still have and that we're going to continue to work through over decades. All right. So we're going to end every episode with our parting shot, you know, our little goodbye from the roast. So I'm going to start, Skylar, if you want to brainstorm yours. Mine is start Bol Bol at point guard. Did you see his bounce pass? He might not have needed to do the one-handed, but he did anyway, and it went amazing.
Start is Bol Bol our next point guard?
He might be a point guard, 7'3" point guard, him and Chris Paul. You love to see it. Start Bol Bol at point guard. See what happens. Really embrace slow time Nuggets, even though the Heat blew you out. That's my parting shot for the week. Need to see more Bol Bol.
My parting shot, I have two. Need to see more Steven Adams, just always. I could see him literally all day, every day, and I would still need more. I love him. And I am just very excited to continue watching Jimmy Butler in this bubble. He came out with a vengeance. He was mysteriously missing from practice today. So weird. Hoping that's not like a COVID thing, maybe like an inconclusive test or something. But yeah. I'm just so excited to continue watching Jimmy Butler just come for blood from these guys.
And basketball is back. Thank you, Skylar. We'll see everyone on Thursday, or maybe even a little special edition episode. Who knows?
See you then.
Bye.